S R N.
Hey, wasn't it around here that the Donner Party got snowbound?
I think that was farther west in the Sierras.
What was the Donner Party?
They were a party of settlers in covered wagon times. They got snowbound one winter in the mountains. They had to resort to cannibalism in order to stay alive.
You mean they ate each other up?
They had to, in order to survive.
Jack.
Don't worry, Mom. I know all about cannibalism. I saw it on TV.
See? It's okay. You saw it on the television.
As your leader, I encourage you from time to time, and always in a respectful manner, to question my logic.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Crush your enemies. See them driven before you. They hear the lamentation of their women.
Let me tell you a little bit about Tyler Durden.
There's only one man who would dare give me the raspberry.
Milk was a bad choice.
Hey, where are the white women at?
And you know what they call a quarter pounder with cheese in Paris?
They don't call it a quarter pounder with cheese?
You can't handle the truth!
You are now listening to Cinema Press Briefing.
Alright, welcome to episode 80. Episode 90! We're out of the 80s! Welcome to the 90s. It's 2014.
The 90s are so awful.
Welcome to episode 90 of Cinema Crespo. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, hanging out with Drew Stickhogburn. How's it going?
Everyone's going to be all dark and depressed and misanthropic like me.
A lot of plaid.
Lots of plaid.
Early 90s. Late 90s, lots of club kids.
Oh, God. Candy kids, too. They wore all the weird neon plastic jewelry at the rave club.
See, I would rather
having their brains being rotted by massive doses of ecstasy.
I'd rather wear the baggy shorts and listen to the grunge rock. What about you?
As opposed to the parachute pants and the rave music.
Parachute pants and the pacifiers.
Yeah, no, thank you.
That's our next. That's our next podcast.
Parachute pants and pacifiers.
Parachute pants and pacifiers. Reliving the best of the 90s, late 90s club scene. Yeah. That's all we know. That's it. So that's the whole show right there. That's the beginning and middle and end of Parachutes and what was the name of the show? Welcome to Cinema Crespo.
Parachute pants and pacifiers.
Parachute pants? Let me write that one down. Parachute. Those are MC Hammer pants.
And pacifiers.
Because that makes sense. That makes perfect sense. Yeah, so
totally makes sense.
So we are here. It is another wonderful day for some more Crespody. So the traffic directly outside this building is nice and smooth. It's clear. There are no accidents. So that's our traffic report. Hope that helps you whenever and wherever you are
weather,
as you listen to this.
As for the weather, it is not raining.
It's not raining for the first day. Dude, can we talk about the weather? Can we talk about the awesome topic that is the weather? People want to hear us talk about the weather.
It's been raining like crazy all week long.
I don't know how people that live in like the Northwest, the Seattle area.
I'd be napping all the time.
Dude, how do they do it? It's so depressing.
I would sleep all day long.
The suicide rate in the Northwest is the highest in the country.
Well, it's because it's depressing.
It's got to be, right? The gray skies all the time. It just weighs down on you.
Always raining. That's why weed's legal up there.
Well, now, yeah. Part of the reason.
Yeah.
That because there are a bunch of lazy stoner potheads up there. Get your shit together, Northwest America. We don't need you bringing us down. Actually, they're doing pretty good over there with the raising of the minimum wage and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I saw that article about $15 thing.
Yeah, we talked about that in this month's CCN. Hey, check out our bonus episodes. We just put out a bonus episode. Our third Crespediso Film School, we talked about the one and only Christopher Nolan. We went over all of his movies, one by one, from the beginning to the end. Learn a lot of cool, interesting stuff, I think. So check that out for sure. Also, you can see previous film school episodes on chriscrespo.com.
Chriscrespo.com.
There's one on Martin Scorsese, and we did one on David Fincher. So we've done three of them so far. Also, check out Dr. Drew's Two Cents.
Dr. Drew's Two Cents.
Check out some CCNs, things like that. CCN. A lot of crazy, crazy stuff out there. So all that entertainment just for you. Also, shout out Sora Overlords, SBK Live, the SBK Live show. Check them out at sbkliveradio.com. Drew, tell people about SBK Live.
SBK Live, it's a bi-weekly podcast with three dudes, Matt, Kevin, and Angel. If you're listening to Cinema Crespo Duso, chances are you already know about SBK Live. It's a great time, good show, really funny. One of my favorite bits is, what's her name? Lady Raptastic. She hasn't been on there in a while, but man,
it's hard to
it's
get
some good
dude,
stuff.
She doesn't have a car. It's hard to get a hold of her. She has to like borrow other people's cell phones. She doesn't have her own phone.
It's cray, but it's good stuff. SBK Live.
So shout out to our overlords. They got some big things in the works that we are going to
be coattailing upon.
And we could spoil those announcements and let you know what they are right now. And you know what? Kevin might Kevin upset, but deep down he would also appreciate that because he's all about like leaking information.
Is he? So yeah. Are you going to leak some info, Chris?
Oh, here we go. We're going to leak some info. No, we're not. No, it's, I couldn't even get that part out. So
no info is to leak.
But keep your ear to the ground, people. Keep your eyes peeled for some big news, big developments. We got a lot coming down the road. But before we get there, we got to start right here with the good old Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. Let's get that baby started up.
Oh. It's laughing at me.
Wrong button. Here we go.
It's laughing at me. It's finally had enough and decided to actually laugh at me.
It's finally saying, fuck you, Drew. Fuck you and what you do. All right, here we go. So you can check out the past Netflix Instant Picks of the Week at chriscrespo.com. Last week was Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Got some Bill and Ted news in the second half of the show, so stick around for that. While Juicer Cockburn is manipulating the Crespo Diesel Randomizer 9000, I do have this quick article that I pulled here from Slash Film. Actually, they're reporting from Variety. They put out how much people are using their Netflix. For $8 a month, you get the Netflix streaming subscription. The average Netflix user is using Netflix 93 minutes a day. Which breaks out to about 17 cents an hour if you're using the $8 a month plan and you're watching 90 minutes a day. So that is a hell of a bargain for entertainment. Now, obviously, it's the average. Some people are watching way more than an hour and a half a day. Some people are watching way less. That's just the way it averages out. So there you go.
All right, Chris, I don't know what you rated this, but this movie.
The Schmovie.
It's from 1972.
Schmovie.
It's from 1972. It is 89 minutes long. Any idea?
No, absolutely not.
In a future where all flora is extinct on Earth.
Ah, Silent Running.
Correct.
Yes, that gets one of these. Directed by Donald Trumbull.
Douglas Trumbull.
Apologies. It's Mr. Trumbull. I'm sorry. Forgetting your name wrong. This guy is best known for being a special effects wizard. He helped, for example, in 2001, The Space Odyssey. He helped put together the Stargate sequence, the baby sequence at the end. He put together a lot of special effects, a lot of groundbreaking special effects of the day. He's been working behind the scenes since then, trying to do a lot of, large screen format projections and just trying to push the envelope in terms of the way we watch movies. Apparently he just did a relatively short film in 3D that's supposed to be like using some new 3D process and a higher frame rate that's ever been used before, and it's supposed to look incredible. Anyway, he dipped his toe in the directing pool
in 1972.
He made Silent Running with Bruce Dern.
Correct.
And long-haired Bruce Dern, hippie Bruce Dern. And it's a movie in which he's in a flying spaceship, but it's like a terrarium. What do you call those things? With the terrarium?
Yes.
I think they're called terrariums.
A terrarium.
He's like in a space biodome. Imagine Biodome, but mixed with...
Biodome X?
Mixed with Jason X. Yeah, Biodome X. I was going to say Leprechauns in Space. Oh. But way better, because it's actually a pretty good little movie. It's a cute movie, kind of cute, because it's Bruce Dern, and he's hanging out with three robots that he calls Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Sweet.
And he's floating through space, and he's got to take care of all these trees, and it's like the last trees that mankind has, and he's the caretaker and the steward of them. And it's it's a nice, thoughtful little sci-fi movie. The little robot guys are cute. They're pretty cool. A lot of cool Trumbull special effects. So definitely a good pick there. Why did it didn't give you a rating there? What I rated it?
I can't get it on the net. I can't do Netflix on my computer. I can't
because you're using it on your phone and it will show you the rating.
It tells me to download the app if you want to start watching, and it won't give me any information.
No, and you don't want to download the app.
Exactly.
You're like, fuck you guys. Although you could download the app and then just use it because we have my login info. And
yeah, because I want to watch movies on my phone.
No, but like while you're laying in bed, sometimes maybe you want to put on the last episode of Twin Peaks. And watch the last 20 minutes right before you go to sleep.
Not on my tiny phone, I don't.
Sorry. If I can recall, I think on the Netflix I rated it 4 stars, but it's more of a 3.5 out of 5 star situation there, personally. So there you go. Silent Running. Let me go ahead and write that one down, because that's a good one. That's a fun one. Science fiction is Coolio. How about we get into that box office review?
What How about say, we Drew? Do?
Where are we starting? Give us some numbers.
And we're going to start off at number 5 this week. And at number 5 this week, we have Dolphin Tale 2.
Dolphin Tale 2!
Had a weekend gross of $4.8 million. Total gross of $33.6 on a budget of $36.
Making less money than the first Dolphin Tale.
Well, because
it's... So that's a little disappointing.
People are sick of handicapped dolphins.
I guess they are. I mean, you've seen it once, we get it. You got Morgan Freeman. He's cool. No one cares. And what's his name?
Morgan Freeman is cool.
Is it Harry Connick Jr. that's the lead guy?
Yes.
I mean, come on.
Nobody cares.
You know what? That's one guy who I feel like should have gotten more work in movies.
Back in the day?
Even now. He's good. Harry Connick Jr. He's okay. Good. He was in the Bug. He played the asshole boyfriend, remember? He was good. I like him. Just because of that copycat movie, we can't hold that against him.
Yes, apparently we can, and we will.
I guess we can.
And coming in at number 4 this week, we have This Is Where I Leave You.
This is where I leave you.
Goodbye.
And show's over.
We could gross $7 million, total of $22.5 million on a budget of $19.8 million.
There you go. That's the mega team-up of box office stars, Jason Bateman, and what's that chick? Yeah.
Her. The old lady with the big fake titties?
Yeah, we're not. Oh, yeah, and her. Jane Fonda. Right? Hanoi Jane?
With big fake titties.
She went to Vietnam and was like, fuck America or something like that. I have no idea.
And now in the year 2014, it looks like she's got 1-year-old titties.
Yeah, science is a wonderful thing, Drew.
It is.
Yeah. Good for her.
Coming in number 3 this week.
Wear a boob hat.
The Box Trolls.
You know you'd wear that boob hat.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Yeah, weekend gross is 17.25.
She's behind you. Or you're doing this feeling boobs on top of your head.
Same as the total.
You're just like,
budget of unlisted. Like, she's a little old for me, Chris.
Like, boobs on top of my head.
I don't mind a little bit older ladies, but not Jane Fonda old.
Boobs on my head. Hey, if you were ever going to be able to nail Jane Fonda.
Now would be the time.
Box Trolls on. They're on Tomatoes because we didn't get a chance to see this. It's been a busy weekend. 72%.
Oh, nice.
Out of 127 reviews, 72% of them are positive. The average rating is 7 out of 10.
Should have seen it.
The critic consensus, according to Rotten Tomatoes, while it's far from Leica's best offering, Leica being a production company, they did Coraline, and Paranorman. The Box Trolls is still packed with enough offbeat wit and visual splendor to offer a healthy dose of all ages entertainment.
Very nice.
The stop motion thing, I mean, that's super. It takes a lot of work. It's super hard to do. So we get one stop motion movie, every 2 years?
Maybe even longer.
If not longer than that, right? Especially since most of them are coming from the same company. Mm-hmm. It's either these guys or when Tim Burton works with that Henry Selick guy.
Yeah. Or the Wallace and Gromit people.
Tell the people about the that stop motion animation, Drew.
It's awesome. I like stop motion animation. Like you said, it's a pain in the ass. It's just one picture. Every frame is a picture.
24 seconds.
So 24 pictures for every second of footage times however many hours this movie is. That's a lot of tiny little fucking pictures. Lots of setups.
But now what they do, they use those 3D printers now to help them out big time.
Yeah.
They have their model, their character, and they'll have a 3D printer print out a whole, like, 30 different faces that make different expressions, different mouth movements so you can make it talk.
Yeah.
And then it's just popping the face on, popping the face off, as opposed to like actually having to move. How did they do it before? They had to move the mouth?
Or make a new one, yeah. Or they made them all by hand and then put them one on, then the other on, then the other on.
What a pain in the ass.
Yeah, seriously. Agreed, 100%.
But Box Trolls, so it came in at number, what was that again? It came in at number 3 at $17.2 million. That's not bad. That's pretty good for a movie that's weird looking. It's not based on anything, you know?
Yeah.
I think they should be kind of happy with that. So we'll see how it does in the long run. Also looks like something, because it's animated, you can dub out the voices. It should translate well overseas.
Oh, right? Yeah, totally. Yeah. Coming at number 2 this week, The Maze Runner.
The Maze Runner.
Had a weekend gross of $17.5 million, total of $58 million and a budget of $34 million.
Apparently, the sequel, the next book, is called The Scorch Trials?
The Run Mazer.
The Run Mazer. The next one's called The Run Mazer. And then after that, they're doing the Storch Trials.
Trials.
It made $90 million international so far, so it's at $148 million worldwide.
Yeah, we're getting a sequel.
On only a $34 million budget. As a matter of fact, sequel news, they have they cast their villain for the next movie, the bad guy, and it's the dude from Game of Thrones that we saw in that Calvary movie. The Littlefinger.
Okay, word.
Littlefinger's gonna be the bad guy in the next Maze Runners, but it's not called the Maze Runner, and probably doesn't involve a maze. Spoiler alert: next movie probably doesn't involve a maze.
Coming to number 1 this week.
Numero uno.
You gotta be Equalized, Chris, with the Equalizer.
I'm going to equalize you.
We can gross $35 million. Sims a total budget of $55 million.
You've just been equalized.
Yes, starring the very old and very black Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, I'm very black. I no longer talk like this. Okay, so The Equalizer, directed by Antoine Fuqua. The re-teaming of Fuqua and Denzel Washington. First time together since the award-winning Training Day.
Which is a lot better than this movie.
A lot better than this movie. Drew, get us started. Tell the people about...
Well, I mean, I only found out recently that this movie was based on an 80s TV show.
Yeah, and I found that out after I saw the movie, so that doesn't even play into it.
Of the same name.
Yeah.
I guess it's roughly the same idea.
Looked up the plot synopsis of the show. Looked exactly the same. Yeah.
Yeah, so Denzel Washington's a badass. And he likes to walk away from explosions after you not seeing how the explosions were made.
I'm pretty
this
sure.
This movie was full of a lot of the aftermath.
Yeah.
Like...
You don't actually see him doing stuff.
You don't actually see Denzel doing things. He's just walking through corridors where there are lots of dead bodies that you assume he killed.
That does happen quite a bit, actually.
Same thing with the explosion.
I think that with
the biggest explosion of the movie, he's just walking away from.
I see the thing with that scene with the explosion. He's just walking. It shows him. He's like at a dock and there's a ship. It's a bad guy's ship. And then things just start. As he's walking away, he hits a button on his watch. And at that point, you have a whole thing where you think like, oh, he's going to time. He's about to do something. He's going to time it because he has this whole thing with timing himself.
Yeah, nope. It all explodes.
But that set off the explosion. Boom. And made things. And he's walking really slowly. And then as he's passing things, like the explosions are going off next to him.
Coming closer and closer.
I think it's just like how awesome he is. His badassness is radiating heat to the things around it. And he's causing like the tanker and all the things to explode around him. It's just his badassery is causing explosions.
Okay.
Because like you said, we don't actually see him doing anything.
Yeah, no.
He just walks away.
And things explode.
And things just start exploding around him as he slowly walks away from it.
Yep.
Yeah. Very slowly.
Very weird.
As it was slow motion.
Yeah, strange. Other than that, I mean, there was all this character work that was done for no apparent reason.
Are you talking about a security guard guy?
Yeah, and kind of Chloe Grace Moritz as well.
Yeah, so this movie has, with that character, she played the, I guess because she is underage, you can presume, underage, forced into prostitution Russian girl.
Czech
girl. Eastern European girl. Who, she has this laughable friendship with Denzel Washington's old man character because they both frequent the same diner, apparently.
Late at night. Because late Denzel night. Can't sleep and she's a whore.
She's a whore. He can't sleep. So they sit around and talk about the books that he's reading.
Yeah.
Very believable. Very believable friendship. But because then she gets beat up by her Russian mob pimp guys.
Yes.
Denzel's got to step in and be like, I will equalize them.
He's got to come in and equalize some shit.
He equalizes some shit. Accidentally gets himself embroiled in a little...
Russian mafia nonsense.
Russian mafia nonsense. He accidentally kills some Russian mob guys. I say accidentally because he doesn't know they're Russian mob guys.
No, he definitely means to kill them.
He means to kill them, doesn't know who they are. He thinks they're just lowlives.
Yeah. And they are.
And then the Russian mob, they send a dude from Russia to come look for him. And for a little while, he doesn't know he's in trouble. He's in trouble, but he doesn't know it.
Yeah.
So then we get stuff like there's that softball scene where they just go to play softball. All right, what the fuck was that?
I don't know.
And then, okay, so then there's the other friendship, right? There's
because the dude had, you had to see the dude become a security guard.
I wanted to talk about that, okay. So he has this fat friend, co-worker guy. They're not really friends, though, because he keeps calling him Mr. McCall. What kind of friend is he? But he's like, Mr. McCall, oh, so good to see you.
What up, Bob?
What up, Bobby? You know, he's always Mr. McCall. So they're friends, but not really. He helps him. He recruited him to be his nutritionist, apparently.
Of sorts.
And trainer, so that he could pass the security guard exam, quote, security guard test.
At the Home Depot.
At the fake Home Depot, so he could be the security guard at Home Depot. I'm pretty sure they're not making him take any tests to stand around with a fake badge and no gun. And not do anything.
Although, I'm not going to lie, the action scene in the Home Depot, that was pretty fun.
We'll get to that. We're going to get to that. I want to get to that.
That was fun.
Okay. I want to get to that. So then it's this whole thing about it. Now, it's at first you got the hooker side story, which at least that plays into Denzel Washington and then getting himself into some shit.
Yes.
But then he got the whole fat guy side story where he's nothing. Like, but then he has like a problem. That's like a separate problem off to the side that has nothing to do with the Russians that Denzel, he can help out with.
Yeah.
Right? So then he goes off there and he helps with that real quick. And then that never comes back.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, it does. Because the detectives.
Where?
That were doing the detective guys.
Yeah.
That were doing the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That he equalized.
Yeah.
They were working for the other detective dude that was working for the Russian mafia.
Oh, so they just happened to be working for the Russian mob too?
Yes.
Okay, so that's another layer of bullshit that I even noticed. Yes. So he equalizes another situation off to the side here. A couple situations off to the side that have nothing to do with the main story overall. It's just him going off. And one of them, you see it in the trailer. That's what you see show in the trailer is what you see in the movie, where the guy robs the girl at the register.
That's it.
Takes her ring, and then he takes a sledgehammer.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, the ring is back.
And they have no idea what happened. And then he puts the sledgehammer back.
And he wipes it with the rag. And the rag still has blood on it, and he's wiping it right there in the middle of the store.
And that's the only part that you see. You never see him use that hammer.
Nope.
You just see him take it off the rack, put it back on the rack.
And that's it. Hammer's over. That whole thing with the guy with the ring, over. Just another, it'd be a little bit of equalization.
Equalized.
Has nothing to do with the Russians. Okay, so anyway. Then he goes. He has no idea that he's in trouble, so he's at a company softball game, and then security guy, he gets a security guy job because he got under 250 pounds, I guess. He made it to 247. Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's there at the game in a security uniform, and everyone's like, oh, shit, he did it. They're like so happy for him, and then meanwhile, the guy just has a stupid security job at a fake Home Depot. And then, like you said, the final shootout of the movie, the last 20 minutes... all takes place inside the Home Depot. The home improvement store.
Yeah,
it's not a home. It's like it's called a Home Mart or something.
Whatever. It's the fucking Home Depot.
But it's or a Lowe's. It could have been a Lowe's. Yeah,
still,
you know. But it's a gigantic hardware store.
And they have a lot of fun with that, actually.
Which is hysterical, actually. Yes. Okay. So here's the thing. Would you say you think it's a good movie, Drew? Would you say it's good? Did you like it?
I mean,
were you entertained?
I was entertained.
What's your takeaway?
There were definitely some parts where I. It felt the 2 hours that it was.
It was long. My butt was hurting by the end.
Yeah, it felt the 2 hours.
Yeah.
It definitely could have been 90 minutes and I think a lot more with a faster pace.
Like he didn't have to be getting that ring, the whole ring thing.
Yeah, no,
could
have exactly.
Cut back on the security guard.
Yep.
We didn't need to see fat guy pulling a tire.
Nope.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So it could have been shorter.
If it had been shorter, I think I would have liked it more. But with all the other stuff, I'd give it maybe like a... 5 or 6 out of 10.
You'll go 5 or 6 out of 10.
You know, somewhere in there.
Tell people watch it on a Redbox type of thing as opposed to
Redbox, HBO. I mean, you know, the action scenes are cool on the big screen. Action screens, you know, scenes always are.
Right.
But this isn't Training Day.
Oh yeah, no.
You know, this isn't Man on Fire.
No, it's not. No.
Those are the movies that you need to be seeing on the big screen.
Well,
the Equalizer, you can see a ginormous 52-inch TV at home.
Okay. Well, I would say similarly, it's like a Redbox. HBO type of thing, watch at home. How I saw The Equalizer, by the time the movie was over, I pretty much figured that it was one of the best bad movies I have ever seen.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it is, it has all the elements needed for a typically bad fucking movie.
But
it's
also
got all the stupid side stories that don't tie into anything. It's got some really cheesy moments here and there.
Yeah.
It's got the whole thing where it plays into him using the hardware stuff, and which is really, really cheesy and corny. But a lot of it's cool looking, and it's Denzel Washington. Antoine Fuqua knows how to put a scene together.
Yeah.
So it's not directed poorly. So it's actually pretty well made. It's just really stupid.
Correct.
But I enjoyed it. Like, I think the main problem was that it was too long. There's just too much bullshit going on this
side.
That
was my problem.
That we had to cut a lot of that stuff out and really, really get to the juice of the situation. The juice of the meat of the potato. You know what I'm saying?
Gotta get that juice.
Gotta get that juice. Where's Sharaba? So it's good, but only because I enjoyed the silliness of it. The weirdness of it. Like, every time every conversation he had, every book he was reading, like, perfectly fit the scenario of the movie Old Man in the Sea. And then he's like, what's that one about? It's about a man who is a
old
knight
in
a world where there are no more knights don't exist anymore.
So, and he's like, that's what you are, Denzel.
So he's the equalizer. Now he's a superhero.
Yes.
He's helping people out. He puts up a Craigslist ad. He's like,
he is equalizing.
I like to think that the home... depot-like store, the home improvement store, that's his Batcave. That's his main base of operations for getting his different tools for weapons and stuff and all that shit. He'll nail gun you or do whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or he'll barbed wire noose you.
Yeah, he will. Or
that shit was fun.
Or hit you with a nail gun or two.
Some of that shit was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The nail guns were fun.
I mean, it had some of the stuff. All some of the stuff in there to be a fun movie, so... The Equalizer, there you go. Best bad movie I've seen in a long time. Definitely enjoyed it. Tomato Meter, 59% positive reviews out of 145 reviews. So it's a big sample size. Average rating of 5.6 out of 10. That's right around where we were saying. Critical consensus, The Equalizer is more stylishly violent than meaningful. True. But with Antoine Fuqua behind the camera and Denzel Washington dispensing justice, it delivers.
Yeah.
Who needs Rotten Tomatoes? You got us.
Exactly. We are Rotten Tomatoes.
You got us, you fucking fuckheads. So, there you go. Equalizer, $35 million opening weekend. That's going to put him around. This could be a $100 million grosser domestically for Denzel.
Go Denzel.
And his movies aren't guaranteed to hit 100. A lot of them top out around 75. Mm-hmm. So, we'll see how this one goes over the next few weeks. If it has legs, as I like to say in the biz. New movies come out on DVD this week. Chef.
Great movie.
Great movie. A lot of fun. People definitely need to check that one out.
Especially
John Favreau,
if you
want to
know about the inner workings of most of your restaurants.
It's a very accurate portrayal of how restaurants work. I think so. It's good stuff.
And how cooks live their lives.
And how cooks, what cooks do with their hands when they're not touching your food. So think about that. Also coming out on DVD, Transformers Age of Distinction of Poop. So there you go. And also coming out on DVD, Third Person, that Liam Neeson movie where he's a writer and all the stories that he's writing are played out by other people.
Oh, I never saw that.
Nah, no one saw it. So there you go, new movies on DVD. What's coming out in theaters, Drew?
We've got some garbage horror movie called Annabelle.
Annabelle, that the prequel to The Conjuring. The Conjuring smash hit of last year made well over $100 million for being an R-rated horror film.
Mm-hmm.
R rating kind of strange though, because not really bloody or gory, or there's no cursing. It's just for intensity.
Yeah,
and it's not even that intense.
Nope.
So there you go.
Your buddy Nick Cage in this little movie called Left Behind.
Yes, I want to see it. That might usurp Equalizer for best bad movie of 2014. I'm just saying
it could be a faith-based thriller.
That could be a fun one. That could be fun. Nick Cage is an interesting dude. I'll just leave it at that. That other horror movie coming out looks interesting, too. Well, I'll tell you why.
There's another horror movie that comes out?
Yeah, is there another one there listed there? I saw one on the...
Heart of the Blue? No?
There's one there called 7500?
Nope.
I saw that on...
Not on the IMDb.
I saw it on the IMDb app.
Okay.
When I pulled up the Who's Coming, it's 7500's coming out. It's a movie about a overnight flight from California to Tokyo. It's directed by a Japanese guy.
Okay.
And it's The Plane That's Haunted.
That's it.
So it starts killing people.
Haunted plane.
Haunted plane. Think of like The Ring or Dark Water about an airplane. The reason why this interested me, I remember seeing trailers for this 2 years ago. It was supposed to come out August 2012.
What?
And it looks like they might be sneaking into theaters this month. So
interesting.
So, yeah, so there you go. I wonder if that's like a the environment thing, you know, to keep trying to put it out. And then planes keep going down around the world. And they're like, shit. Fucking Malaysia fucking our shit up.
Seriously. That movie that we only saw one trailer for but looks really interesting, Men, Women, and Children.
Oh, that's got to be a limited release. That's the new Jason Reitman.
Correct.
Where it looks like he's either afraid of sex or the internet or both.
Yes.
And yeah,
it says a group of high school teenagers and their parents attempt to navigate the many ways the internet has changed their relationships, their communication, their self-image, and their love lives.
And if the movie's in the trailer, it looks like everyone communicates via text and, yes, and instant messaging.
But
and no one speaks. We have to read everything that they communicate.
Well, that and I think like the unimportant things that are going on in the movie are like what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Like when the wife talks to the husband,
yeah,
it's probably something null, very unimportant.
About shopping.
While she's texting her lover and he's texting his secretary really terrible, awful things.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
That's what I think it is.
I'm looking forward to seeing that one, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be a limited release type deal.
Yeah.
So we might have to wait a couple weeks to see that.
And then the new David Fincher flick, Gone Girl.
About time. Goddamn. Can't wait. I saw a commercial where they, you know, they had the stupid blurbs on there, the critic quote whores, just
yes,
the worst people in the world. One of them said, "Gone Girl is the date night movie of the year." So
what?
Yeah, so that's
pretty. You're supposed to take a girl who you're trying to be intimate with to a movie about a man who kills his wife,
who may have or may not have. We don't know.
Still,
we don't know. Are you calling it? Are you calling Ben Affleck did it? Are you saying it right now? Ben Affleck did it?
No, I'm not saying it.
Okay.
It's a David Fincher movie. I might, at the end of the movie, I might not even know who did it, Chris.
I thought we were about to take some bets on that one there.
No.
All right. Well, we're going to find out next week.
It's probably the gardener that you only see in like one scene.
Ah, but he's in the background.
But he's in the background, and it's played by Andy Serkis or something like that.
Oh, but
was that Andy Serkis? At the end, he's smiling and moving his hands.
They use Andy Serkis motion capture a Mexican gardener.
Yes.
Like that is true.
And that is the killer.
Nah, he's the killer. All right, well, Drew called it. There we go.
I called it.
No need to see the movie now. That's the ending.
Andy
Serkis
as the Mexican.
So next week we'll all meet and get together. We'll all go see Annabelle. So there you go. All right, so let's take a break here. Crestwood Disco time. I got a couple songs that I grabbed super quick without thinking about it. What I got? We got a song from the Black Swan soundtrack, Nina's Dream.
Black Swan.
That sounds nice. And then we'll follow it up with the other Black Swan, The Dark Knight Rises. This one's called Gotham's Reckoning, so it's a Bane theme type song. Enjoy the tunes, guys. We'll be back with the second half of the show. A lot to talk about.
the quest logo.
Alright, second half of episode 89 was last week. Second half of episode 90 is now. I don't know why I keep wanting to do 89. It's episode 90. I got it written down right here. Ep 90. 90. In Roman numerals, that would be XC. I think. I'm going to have to look it up online. Drew Sikogren, Drew.
What up? Yo. How's it going?
Give me some nice applause that time there. Let's get them plugs out of the way. Hit up Drew Sikogren on the Twitter at I am. No, hit up me on Twitter at I am Chris Crespo. Hit up Drew on Twitter at antihero419. Hit up the show at Crespodiso. Facebook.com/CinemaCrespodiso. Instagram.com/CinemaCrespodiso. Email the show CinemaCrespodiso@gmail.com. It's easy, guys. Just open up your email thingy, put in the two, CinemaCrespodiso@gmail.com. In the subject, put something that'll make me be like, oh, that's what we're talking about. And then in the body, write an email. Then hit send. That's how you email the show. Very simple. Am I right, Drew?
You are correct.
How do you like that email?
I'm not really big on the email.
Not a big fan of the email. That's why he doesn't give it out. Hit him up on Twitter or Facebook. You can't find him on Facebook. Not that he's not on there. He just doesn't want you to be friends.
Damn straight.
Hit him up on Instagram, antihero419. He'll communicate with you that way, right? Right, Drew?
Yeah, yep. Okay with that.
Yeah, your Instagram.
Yeah, totally.
He's an Insta communicator. Mm-hmm. I think the kids call it the IG.
The IG?
Get on that IG, yo.
That sounds weird.
Iggy, yo?
Iggy, yo. I don't think we should say that anymore.
So there's a couple new trailers out there that I want to talk about real quick. We saw one. We saw one online last month, but we finally saw it in theaters in front of The Equalizer. Very smart to play this trailer in front of The Equalizer. The new Keanu Reeves movie, John Wick.
John Wick.
I don't think we've talked about
they
John
Wick. They keep asking me if I'm back. Yeah, I think I am.
We haven't talked about John Wick on the show, right?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. Go online. Check out the trailer for John Wick, W-I-C-K. Brand new Keanu Reeves action movie, and it looks pretty damn badass, if you ask me. What do you think, Drew?
Yeah, I know. It looks like a lot of fun. I mean, it's Keanu Reeves playing the Liam Neeson role, Old Man Badass.
Old Man Badass. He's aging into Old Man Badass now since he's in his 40s. He's always been a bit of a badass.
Uh-huh.
He wasn't that. Bill and Teddy wasn't really a badass. But
Constantine he was.
Constantine, but that was post-Matrix. Post-Matrix, Keanu was a badass dude. Because now we all know, deep down inside somewhere, he's got still got a little bit of that kung fu knowledge.
Yep.
We don't know if he keeps up with it. For all we know, he does.
He knows kung fu.
For all we know, he still knows kung fu.
Yeah.
For all we know, he hasn't done it since, you know, they wrapped filming on Matrix 3.
Who knows?
I have a feeling
he still knows kung fu,
this guy. I have a feeling he does. Keanu Reeves is an interesting motherfucker, man. He's the type of dude where it's like, you know, he had his success early. You know, Point Break, Bill and Ted. He got to do Bram Stoker's Dracula. He wasn't good in it, but he got paid for it.
Yeah, he did.
He got a lot of work in the 90s, and he got paid for all that stuff. And I think he invested it well, and he set it all aside. He knew what he was doing with his money. Because once he did Matrix, and then he got fucking...
so much money.
He got fat paid with the Matrix. He gave all of that money away. All of it. 100% of that money. You know who he gave it to? His stunt team.
Nice.
The stunt team for the Matrix, the choreographers, all the stuntmen, all the people that made
He's
him
like,
look
you
so
guys
awesome.
Were awesome.
It's like, you guys made me look like the badass that I pretend to be. So here's all my money. Oh, by the way, you're all now millionaires.
Yeah,
he just made a whole stunt team. He made them all millionaires. That's how much money he had. You know, John Wick is being directed by two stuntmen. I think one of them who worked on the Matrix movies with him, and then another guy who's actually his stunt double.
Okay.
Keanu Reeves a stunt double dude. They're the two guys that directed it, and they did all the action choreography and stuff, so we're hoping, you know, knock on wood, the action's gonna look really cool. It's gonna be cool.
Seriously.
It looks good in the trailer. You know, it's not like super close up.
Nope.
Not a lot of hyper editing.
Nope.
Like, there's that one shot towards the end where Keanu Reeves, he shoots three guys.
Yes.
And the camera doesn't move. The camera barely moves. It doesn't cut away. We actually get to see the action. And it looks awesome.
It does.
It looks really cool. So,
he uses a sledgehammer on some concrete.
Okay, yeah, let's talk about the actual trailer. First, we're hoping that you pause the show, watch the trailer, and now you're back. If you haven't, do so right now. We'll wait. And we're waiting, and you're watching the awesome trailer. There's a dog, and the sledgehammer, and the guns. Okay, welcome back.
My dying wife!
Okay, so yeah. Contender for... even though we just had Equalizer and we got this other movie coming up, new contender for possible best bad movie of 2014. It's gotta be John Wick, because that trailer is so ridiculous. Some of it looks like the fake movie trailer, like Draft Day, mm-hmm. like that type of thing, where this is fucking fake. They did this for a Funny or Die skit, and then someone had the bright idea of turning into a real movie. Someone decides randomly that they want to steal his car. Apparently, a car that people know whose car this is.
They're like, wait a minute.
When later, John Leguizamo sees it.
The second John Leguizamo sees the car, he's like, fuck, I know whose car that is.
He's like, where'd you get this car? And then the guy from Game of Thrones, he's like, Game of Thrones is everywhere now. Guy from Game of Thrones is like, I don't know, just some dude. John Leguizamo has to hit him, and then he walks away. He's got this face like, we're fucked, right?
Yeah.
They steal his car, and they kill his cute little puppy.
Yep.
They show Keanu Reeves'
the last
puppy.
Present for my dying wife.
Yeah, voiceover. He's like, that was the last present for my dying wife. So now he has nothing. They took his car. They killed his puppy. Even though he lives in a sweet ass house, he has nothing. So to get to his guns, he has to take a sledgehammer and bash open the concrete ground.
So he can get to his gun case.
It's like when you have a credit card and you don't want to use it for emergencies, so you have it in a block of ice in your freezer. And then if you want to get to it, you got to break open the block of ice. He did that with guns and concrete. Yeah. So it's hysterical. Watch him like, oh, and he's swinging the sledgehammer and he breaks open, he pulls out the case and it flips open. It's all these pristine guns like he just washed.
And the most awesome gun case you've ever seen.
The most awesomest gun case. And it's like, it looks like he just washed it the day before, but obviously it's in concrete, so it's been there for a little while. And then it's him running around the rest of the trailer, just lots of action and being a badass.
Kicking ass.
And it looks like...
And saying that he's back.
And it's back. Or people keep asking me if I'm back. That's another thing about the Equalizer. Going back to Equalizer, people kept asking, like, I really, really liked whenever people were, just as they were dying at his hands, through a throat rapidly filling with blood, they would all gurgle out, who are you?
Yeah.
And I don't think he ever answered
no,
them
he
once.
Didn't. Nope.
He just let them all die not knowing who he was.
Yeah. That's the way to do it.
So funny. So fucking funny. When it happened the third time, some guy said, who are you?
Aww.
I was like, yes, yes, this is great.
He's the Glimmer Man, Chris.
There were so many times, it's so much better than Glimmer Man. There's so many times I wanted to laugh out loud at certain things in a movie, but no one else was laughing because it's not meant to be funny. So I was like, I'm going to hold this shit and let other people enjoy the film, not ruin it for them, because that can be a little distracting when someone's laughing at what's supposed to be a serious moment in a movie. Right. Mm-hmm. So that John Wick trailer looks badass. Looks like a fun movie. Come out the end of October.
Yes.
Definitely looking forward to it. The other trailer, the new Jupiter Ascending trailer. How did you find it on YouTube?
I said Jupiter Ascending trailer, official trailer number 3.
It was official trailer number 3.
And it was also the one that was posted like 2 days ago.
So if you're just downloading the show, if you're just downloading the show now, it's the newest posting. Check out that trailer real quick. We'll be right here when you get back and go. Okay, so here, I'm gonna drink some. I'm gonna
Epic
drink some
space
here.
Opera.
Mm-hmm. Okay, welcome back. Hope you enjoyed that trailer.
Was your mind blown like mine was?
It's much better than the other trailers they put out in the summer.
It leads on a little more to what's actually going on.
It definitely lays out what the story is. Here are warring factions. Here are the good guys. Here are the bad guys. Here's Earth. Here's how the planet Earth is in peril, you know, et cetera, et cetera. It really lays out all the stakes and everything. So I think that's smart on their behalf. When they initially pushed the movie back from... its initial July release date to February. That was seen as like a sign that the movie's in trouble. There were reports of a lot of negative test screenings, so they're going to have to re-edit the movie, do some reshoots. The public reason that the studio put out was that unfinished special effects was the reason why they pushed it to February.
Well, they showed a lot of new special effects in this one.
Now, that's the thing. That new trailer, I want to point out that new trailer does kind of give a little credence to the special effects thing. There's a lot more, way bigger shots in this movie now. There are more creatures that I guess all these things just weren't done when they were doing the other trailers, you know? So it does give a little credence to that. But then, I also read somewhere online, and then that's all I can remember, so take that for what you will. It could have been an article, it could have been a fucking comment on a blog somewhere. But I read that the studio pushed the movie to February because they freaked the fuck out when Edge of Tomorrow tanked. Because Edge of Tomorrow didn't make any money, even though it was a fantastic movie, and it stars, right now, the world's best movie star, Tom Cruise. I mean, he's still it, if you ask me personally. So they freaked out. They're like, shit, we have a sci-fi movie with a far less recognizable... Channing Tatum's hot right now. He ain't no Tom Cruise. You know what I'm saying? Right? And the movie, the Live, Die, Repeat, that had a hook. Jupiter Ascending had no hook.
No.
You know, we got Mila Kunis in a plaid shirt. And she's supposed to be special. And she's like, I'm not special. That's not a hook. You know? So they freaked out. They pushed it to February. That makes a lot more sense. then the visual effects were not finished. It could have been a combination of everything, though, right?
Yeah.
It was a good trailer. I am now back on board the Jupiter Ascending bandwagon. I was a little worried about it being pushed to February. I was like, oh, now it's going to be a stinker. But now I'm back on board. Now I'm hoping it's going to be good.
Hell yeah.
Yep. All right. So I got a thing here. You know, Batman's always relevant. Batman's always in the news. He's a big deal. He's this guy that, you know, they're making that Batman v Superman : Dizon of Just Ice come out March 2016.
Sounds so awful.
Followed by The Batman in 2019.
Even more.
No, awful. The Batman I have more hope for, because that's just going to be a Batman movie. Oh, shit. Got this thing. Juice the cog, best of the world.
It's my least favorite part of the week.
So I got a little... Oh, this is my favorite part of the week. People love the Juice the Cog versus the world, Drew. People love it.
I don't know about that.
You are 9-3. We're going to have a guest in here soon to see if we can get you up to 10 wins or 4 losses.
Either or.
We're going to be finding out soon. You know who we need to have in here? I already have some ideas for people we need to have back. Past guests that we haven't had on in a while. I want to have Big Mike in here,
mm-hmm.
so we can promote some Swamp Patrol stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe bring us some Fried Gator.
Mm-hmm.
I want to have Cool Carl back in here,
mm-hmm.
because I love having him on. He's mm-hmm. great to talk to. And, of course, DJ Baby Lack.
Well, yeah,
we haven't had him on in since, like, the episode 54 or something. So, you know, fan favorite Baby Lack. We got to have him on, too. And those guys are competitors. All three of those dudes. Because Big Mike, he has to deal with the Curtis Art trivia. Carl Verna, he knows his shit. He's a teacher.
Yeah.
And Baby Like, man, he's a movie watcher.
He is.
So we got a fucking Mike Tyson train you up to take on these Evander Holyfields.
I'm going
to
punch him out.
Punch him out.
And bite ears. I'm going to start biting ears.
That's fine. Biting ears is fine here in the Crespo Dome. There's no rules in the Crespo Dome. Only rule in the Crespo Dome, you must obey the Crespo.
Who's that?
Who do you think?
Or what is that?
Ah, even better question. So this week's game, simple. Which made more, but it's the Denzel edition.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you two Denzel Washington movies. You tell me which one made more at the U.S. box office. You ready, Drew?
Yes.
Which made more? Number one, Safe House or American Gangster?
American Gangster.
Safe House made $126 million goddamn dollars. That's a lot of money for a movie that was very forgettable.
What I'm saying.
American Gangster, $130 million. So that is correct. Good job. Number two, which made more? Deja Vu or Flight?
Deja Vu.
Deja Vu made $64 million. Flight, $93 million. So here you go. You got that one wrong. Number three, which made more? John Q or The Hurricane?
Hurricane.
John Q made $71 million. The Hurricane, $50 million. Number four, Inside Man or Two Guns?
Inside Man.
Inside Man made $88 million. Two Guns, $75 million. So you're 2-2. Here we go. Number five, Virtuosity or Fallen? Now we're going to the 90s.
Fallen.
Virtuosity made $24 million. Fallen made $25 million. So you got that one right. Good job. Number six, Philadelphia or The Pelican Brief?
Pelican Brief.
Philadelphia made $77 million. Pelican Brief, a cool 100. So there you go. Correct. Number seven, which made more? Malcolm X or Courage Under Fire?
Malcolm X.
Malcolm X made $48 million. Courage Under Fire, $59 million. Sorry, you got that one wrong. Number eight, here we go. Home stretch. Which made more? Man on Fire or Training Day?
Man on Fire.
Man on Fire made $77 million. Training Day made $76 million. So you got that one right. Good job. Number nine, The Manchurian Candidate or Out of Time?
Out of Time.
Manchurian Candidate, $65 million. Out of Time, $41 million. Finally, which made more, Remember the Titans or The Taking of Pelham 123?
Taking of Pelham 123.
Remember the Titans, $115 million. Taking of Pelham 123, $65 million. So you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 out of 5.
5 out of 5, that's 100%.
I'm sorry. You got 5 out of 10. You got 5 right, 5 wrong. That's what I meant to say. So there we go. So yeah, Batman. This Batman guy. He's a popular dude in American pop culture. They've been making movies and TV shows about him going all the way back to the 60s.
Wow.
Now, there are these cats.
Cats.
Called the Piano Guys. Uh-huh. And it's really just two dudes, and only one of them is on the piano.
Okay.
But it's the Piano Guys. One guy plays the piano, one guy plays the cello, and they decided to put together the evolution of the Batman theme.
Sweet.
So I'm going to go ahead and just play it here, and we can talk about it while it's playing. You can go to YouTube and check it out. It's also, there's a cool video that comes with it, which has a lot of cool, like, set decoration and stuff. Where for every era of Batman, they're playing on a set that represents that Batman movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So this is going to be recreated with piano, over 100 checks of cello, and 3 legendary cars. Those are the... They got all the Batmobiles in the video. It's called Batman Evolution, is the name of it. So check that out. Batman Evolution. And this one is just two guys, and they're in the Batman TV show, Batcave, which is pretty awesome. And they're really, like, nerdy dudes, and they're really into what they're playing. It's pretty fun. It's good stuff. Now, the best part about this is the transition between the 3 different theme songs, so check this out. Danny Elfman. That Danny Elfman score is pretty badass. Yeah. And then listening to it like this really brings home how operatic Batman really is. You know, it really is a tragic opera imagined on a dark stage, lots of dark clothing, lots of leather and black. Huge bombastic music. And then that switch over from Elfman to Hans Zimmer. That's a good one. It's pretty crazy how Hans Zimmer came up with a Batman theme that really consists of 2 notes. But it's very recognizable.
Soundtrack.
I thought that was pretty cool.
It is.
You know, the three Batman soundtracks put together. It goes on for another minute or two. Actually, the last minute or so is the 3 themes, like, kind of mashed up.
It's a mishmash.
Yeah, they bring it back to the more surf rocky 1966 version of the theme song. So there you go. Check it out. Piano Guys, Batman Evolution. You can see that on the YouTube, and it's totally worth it because it's a pretty cool little video. It's pretty cool. I like what they did.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's see. What do we want to do next? You know what we'll do next? Let me set this up here. Get that going there. It is time for our new favorite segment, Billy D's Death at the Movies. Oh, wait, hold on a second. See? Let's try that one more time. Billy D's Death at the Movies! Here we go. Billy D, our friend Billy D, you can follow him on Twitter at ILoveBlood. He writes, "What is up, my dudes? Back again." First two sentences of his email, we got two exclamation points. Come on, Billy, you're so excited. Yes. I'd like to let everyone know that I've not forgotten the death in Death at the Movies. Oh. Okay, there we go. This week features the highest body count of any Death of the Movies prior. Okay. Ty West, The Sacrament. Seen via screening and again recently on Netflix. Ty West has recently gone for it this time. His experiments in pacing with The Innkeepers and House of the Devil have paid off in spades, and he has crafted a modern examination of the incidents behind the Jonestown Massacre. Gene Jones is riveting and terrifying as the Jones character in the story about a Christian cult deep in the jungle and the journalists who track them down to document their lives. Sounds pretty intense.
Yeah, it does.
See this dark edge of your seat drama and walk away a little dirty, a little sweaty, and a lot shaken. Who loves you? Billy D.
Billy D.
There you go. So The Sacrament. Ty West is this dude who... kind of hit it, you know, kind of exploded on the scene. The indie film scene, the horror scene a few years ago with The Innkeepers. The House of the Devil was his first one, a haunted house movie that followed that up with The Innkeepers with a haunted hotel. So we got up, now we're just upping the amount of rooms, right, from going to a hotel to. But now then his third movie is this cult movie, which sounds pretty cool. It did get good reviews at festivals and stuff.
Okay.
So maybe it's another one we're going to have to check out, you know?
Yeah, word. I mean,
we still got to get around the filth.
Yep,
Billy talked about that one last week.
Yep, gotta watch that.
Still wanna, we gotta get around to Cheap Thrills. Been meaning to watch that one for a while. Been hearing about that one for a while. And we watched Blue Ruin, which...
so awesome.
Oh boy, Blue Ruin's good. So good. So glad they put that on the Netflix. So great.
So glad Billy D told us about it.
Thank you, Billy D! Okay.
Can you not say okay every time you play that?
Alright, here we go. Listen. You know how long it's been since I hit that button? It's been quite a while since I did that. Okay, here we go. Just wanted to. Movie news. That's what. Oh, actually, you know what I want to do first? Here's what I want to do. People can ask us questions. You can ask us questions on Twitter at Crespo Diso. Hit me up personally on Twitter at I am Chris Crespo. Like I said, you can email the show at cinemacrespo@gmail.com. But another way you can hit us up and communicate with us, and it'll work. The egg, the Instagram, we're on there at Cinema Crespo Diso. We got a communique on the Instagram, on the egg, from Emerge City, a.k.a. Okay. The Black Hasselhoff, yes. A.k.a. Two Watches at a Time, so you know what time it is, a.k.a. The Foodinati, a.k.a. Anthony Davis. From Forget That Yo Radio, for your white people, that's Forget That, D-A-T, Yo Radio. It's not Forget That, Yo.
Forget That.
Forget That, Whitey. All right. But what he did on Instagram, he took a picture of the RPX sign outside the Regal Premium Experience Theater at Winter Park,
yes.
That brand new thing they just opened.
Uh-huh.
And he wrote a little review.
Oh, he went?
He went and used it.
What does he say?
And he tagged us in a review. So here he goes. This is what he wrote on the Instagram. He wrote, "The RPX sign is better than the actual setup." Laugh out loud. "It's cool, but the XD experience at Festival Bay, colder, with better sound." See, I didn't even know they had an XD thing over there.
Yeah,
might have to go check that out. IMAX International Drive, still Kang. And that is so true.
Yes.
You can't beat that screen. Meanwhile, the Equalizer was dope. A few flaws. 3.9 out of 5. And then he put 5. Oh, out of 5. I think those are flames.
Okay.
Flame emojis.
Okay.
3.9 out of 5 flame emojis.
Gotcha.
So there you go. Thank you very much, Ewerk. We appreciate it. So if you have anything you wanna, if you wanna give us your own little mini movie review, just like that,
do it.
We'll do it. again, to all the ways I said, you can hit us up. Do it. Let us know. We will read it. Also, rate and review the show on iTunes, and we'll read that as well. I haven't checked this week to see if there are any new ones. So if you've done it, I'll read it next week. If not, get the fuck on.
Doesn't matter.
Get the fuck on. All right, Drew, let's bang out some of these news stories and then get the hell out of here. I have a Why the Last Man movie update for you, Drew.
Sweet.
You want to know what's up?
Sure. I mean, I just started rebuying the comics because I lent them to Mr. Billy D, and he lent them to somebody, and that was the end of that.
Calling you out!
It's okay, though. I understand. These things happen.
Okay. So, Why the Last Man? Why the Last Man, Drew, is dead.
Of course.
The Why the Last Man adaptation is officially dead. Almost director Dan Trachtenberg was asked about the project on Twitter and said the following, quote, "Not happening, but it's in trusted hands," parentheses, "the creators."
So, yeah, because the rights reverted back to them.
Rights have, exactly, the rights have reverted back. Slash Film then reached out to Dan Trachtenberg to talk about developing the project, and he actually had some things to say here, so I'm going to read that real quick. Like you said, Drew, the rights reverted back to Brian quite a few months ago. Brian K. Vaughn. I had such a great time working on that project, and I'm truly sad that things we were cooking up can no longer happen. Like everyone else who's a fan of the series, I'd always wish it either remain in its comic book form, or if it must be made, a TV series would be the only way it would suffice. However, the big screen and the small screen has changed drastically since White came out, and I think so much of the great TV in our current, quote, golden age has been directly or indirectly inspired by Why the Last Man. I started getting excited about bringing to the big screen what we've been getting in TV so readily now. Great characters, relationships, world building, and genre recombination. Here we go. Truly, I was excited to make an adventure film with Swashbuckle. That was fun and funny, but had something to say. Which is something that is distinctly BKV.
Yeah, Brian K. Vaughn. That's the way you write.
That's the way you write. Okay. Having real, true, honest people stuff amidst the big, fun action stuff. We were in many ways quite faithful to the comic, though some characters were combined and some events rearranged and some brief moments of action we dug in to create bigger action-adventure sequences. The script was essentially the first two trades. Now, what does that mean, okay, Drew, when you say trades?
The first two trade paperbacks. So the first two, quote-unquote, graphic novels. So,
like, and that is that typically that like a year's like worth?
Yeah, but it would basically be the first year's worth, the first 12 issues.
The first 12 issues would make the first trade. So he was saying the movie was going to be the first 2 years of the comic book. Okay. How long did they? How many trades were there for a total?
There are 10 trade paperbacks.
So it would have been a fifth of the story would have been the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Is what they're saying here. He goes on to explain that taking inspiration from the original Star Wars, we wanted to tell a complete story, but not the whole story. Hoping that in success, we could get to tell the rest of our serialized adventure. Raiders of the Lost Ark was referenced a lot. Midnight Run, Big Trouble in Little China was referenced a lot. Willow and Lady Hawk I may have referenced a little too often. In the end, it was a great experience, blah, blah, blah. I'm not sure Brian will ever want to do anything more with it, and I'm not sure that he needs to. His latest comics, Saga and The Private Eye, are great, and we should be reading them.
Yeah, you know, I'm reading Saga right now. If you're not reading Saga, you're missing out. If you're not reading, if you haven't read anything by Brian K. Vaughn, you really are missing out.
Guess I'm gonna have to get
he's
down some Brian
really
K. Vaughn.
Good. I unknowingly have like everything he's done.
Oh really?
Like didn't even like I
didn't realize
back.
That you were pulling all his stuff. You were just things that you were interested in.
I was just like,
him.
This is awesome. Oh, this is awesome. Next thing I know, oh wait, this was written by Brian K. Vaughn.
You look at the author line.
Yeah, I'm like, oh shit.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Oh, there you go. There's your Wire Last Man update. Got an X-Men update for you.
Okay.
X-Men Apocalypse?
Yes.
Apparently, it's going to conclude the trilogy started by First Class.
Okay.
So that's three movies.
Yeah.
Some interesting things in here. Let me just cut to the quotes. Simon Kinberg, he's one of the producers of the X-Men series, along with Bryan Singer. He talked to Yahoo Movies, and here are some quotes. One on the trilogy. He says, "The thrust of X-Men : Apocalypse... added the code, is really to complete the trilogy we began with First Class. To complete the stories of young Raven, young Hank, and young Charles and Eric. And complete this trilogy of four people who began the film sort of disparate and in different worlds and who we followed through the span of decades. So that'll be the thrust. There'll be familiar characters and new characters that we haven't seen ever, but it'll be the completion of what we began in First Class. Also, movie's going to take place in the 80s.
Okay.
For sure. Apocalypse will take place in the 80s. They're including a character called Psylocke.
I know who Psylocke is.
Who is Psylocke, Drew?
Betsy Braddock. Well, the original Psylocke was Betsy Braddock. Okay. She's the sister of... Oh, what the fuck? Captain Britain.
Okay.
From Excalibur.
Okay.
None
of these words make any sense to me, but please continue.
But in the 90s, when Psylocke came back, it was the mind of Betsy Braddock inside of the body of some, like, Japanese assassin or something. I don't know.
Since her name is Psylocke, P-S-Y as psychic.
Yeah.
Psychic abilities. So she's a telekinetic type of person.
Yeah, she's telekinetic, and she's got, like, this weird energy knife that comes out of her fist that she plunges into people's heads.
Ooh, energy knife.
Yeah. Ooh, that's actually pretty cool.
That sounds fun. Okay, cool. Well, Psylocke's going to be in X-Men Apocalypse. Along with Cable.
Yeah.
Who I think wasn't Cable in the very beginning of Days of Future Past? I'm thinking of Bishop.
No, that was Bishop. Cable is the son of Cyclops and Jean Grey from the future that comes to the past.
Okay. Also looks like Scarlet Witch might be making an appearance.
Daughter of Magneto.
And sister of Quicksilver. Yeah, Quicksilver in the last one, so let's bring in a little bit of a Scarlet Witch right over here. Here we go, and then talking about the characters. Psylocke has a cool power. I know Brian thinks she's a neat character, so there's certainly a chance she'll be in an X-Men movie someday. Okay, not saying there's only a chance. Hopefully there'll be a lot of X-Men movies, and there's lots of mutants we've yet to fully explore on screen. Even if they've had cameos before, now we're making films, there's a chance to dig deeper. And then the whole continuity thing. Okay, so Days of Future Past was a time travel movie. Yep. It was meant to address continuity shit with the X-Men movies. First off, the way the X-Men movies are right now, here's the continuity. It starts with X-Men First Class. And then it's the past part of Days of Future Past. Then it's X-Men Origins Wolverine. And then it's X-Men, X2, X3. Then the Wolverine. And then the future part of Days of Future Past. Mm-hmm. Days of Future Past has changed the timeline as follows. Quote, we changed the timeline for everything that came after Days of Future Past. So X-Men, X2, X3... even the Wolverine
never existed.
So Jean Grey was not killed in The Last Stand, nor was Scott, and a whole lot of other things rippled. Mm-hmm. So there we go. So none of those movies matter anymore, guys. Thanks for popping down money to watch them. No, we appreciate it. Wolverine's still a pretty badass movie. I really enjoyed Wolverine. The more I think about it, and I've seen it a few more times subsequently
it's
on HBO. Yeah, I really, really like that movie. It's cool. All right, let's fly through some of these here. We got Interstellar coming out. Famously, we've been talking about it for a while. Like I said, check out that Chris Benicio Film School where we're talking about Christopher Nolan movies. Exclusive to Slash Film, they reported the TCL Chinese Theater IMAX in Los Angeles. It's considered like the number one IMAX theater in the country. It's the first one they installed. It's closest to IMAX headquarters. You know, it's their theater. They are installing a 70mm projector for Interstellar. They're going back to film projectors just for this movie. That is the power of Christopher Nolan these days.
Yeah, seriously.
Normally, the theater uses an IMAX Xenon dual digital projection system. And that's a lot like when you go to see an IMAX screen that's like at Waterford Lakes or at the one at the Universal Studios. It's not a real IMAX screen. It's not using a film projector. It's doing a dual digital projection, which still looks beautiful. Yep. It looks fantastic, but it ain't the same. It's still a step down. Nolan wants Interstellar projected on IMAX film wherever possible. You know where that's possible, Mr. Nolan?
Please tell me Orlando.
Point Orlando, so we better be getting that shit on film. IMAX officials have confirmed they're doing this specifically for this film. It opens to the public November 7th. It'll have its world premiere before that. There's a strong chance it'll be at the TCL Chinese Theater IMAX. And blah, 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 pretty much. It's going to be awesome. Reports are this is now Nolan's longest movie, just under about 10 minutes short of 3 hours. I think it's 169 minutes long, Interstellar is going to be, which is only a couple minutes longer than Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
And Dark Knight Rises, a third of that movie was in IMAX. And because they had to use IMAX platters to roll out the movie, like at the Point Orlando, the movie it stopped at a certain length because that's literally
all the film,
the room they had to be able to project the movie with that length. They couldn't physically project the movie that longer. Since this movie is a few minutes longer, I'm thinking they found a way to squeeze in those extra minutes there. So we'll see. Nacho Vigalondo.
What?
Nacho. Am I saying his last name right? Vigalondo. No?
What?
What if I show you this guy? Does that guy look familiar to you?
Not really.
Time Crimes.
Tim and Crimmins.
Los Cronos Crimenes. The guy who wrote and directed Time Crimes, which is this guy. And okay. He was the second lead in the movie. The guy that was working the machine.
Yeah.
He's based on that one. If that was the only movie he ever made,
that would have been awesome.
I consider him to be a brilliant man. If he made that and then just 20 years of the worst crap ever,
I would
point to Time Crimes and be like, this man is still brilliant deep down inside. But apparently, he has made a couple movies since then. He's made a movie called Open Windows with Elijah Wood and Sasha Gray.
Okay.
It's been received very well, and it's brand new. It's just playing festivals. And he also did a segment in the new VHS horror anthology series, which people are liking.
Okay.
But he's announced what his next movie is going to be.
And?
It's not what anyone expected. It's going to be a, quote, old school style kaiju movie.
All right, so it's going to be Godzilla?
It's going to be, he's making like a Godzilla type movie. Yeah, man, who says Pacific Rim and Godzilla have to be the end all be all of giant monster movies?
Yeah.
Let's get some more in there.
I'm okay with that.
Vigalondo talked to Film Divider. And he explained that he wants to go back to the old school man in suit approach.
Oh man!
To giant monsters,
Mighty Morphin Power Ranger style.
He is going 100% practical, so cheap practical effects.
He's making a Power Ranger movie.
Well, here's his quote. This is Mr. Vigalondo. The script I finished and want to get financing for is a twist on the kaiju Iga genre, the Godzilla genre. It's going to be the cheapest Godzilla movie ever. I promise. It's going to be a serious Godzilla movie, but I've got an idea that's going to make it so cheap that you will feel betrayed. At least he's honest about that. You're going to be so frustrated by it, it's not even possible. The way I wrote the movie, and I don't want to explain too much, I found a way that is honest and logical to make Godzilla in a costume, destroying cities, models all the time. I wrote the movie in a way that the story has a twist, so it makes sense to do Godzilla this way, and I'm going to try to be the guy inside the costume, because I love filmmaking to the core, and I'm a film lover. One of the dreams is not to direct the Godzilla movie,
but to be
inside the costume and destroy the cities. I want to be the guy in the costume. So that is awesome. I hope it happens.
Sounds interesting.
It is very exciting. And he actually announced very recently on Twitter that it looks like they're going to get ready to shoot it. He has financing for it. There's people interested in his project. So he's going to get to make it. Haven't seen Time Crimes, people, please.
Watch it. It's on Netflix.
Oh,
it's good.
Oh, my God. It is so good. It is so good. I hope it's on Netflix. It's one of the ones where they take up and put down and take up and they put down. So. Like I said earlier in the show, I got some Bill and Ted 3 news here for us.
Ted Twa.
It's happening. These guys are now in their 40s, so Bill and Ted will be characters in their 40s. They talk to not Keanu Reeves, but Alex Winters. Because Alex Winter is available. He's sitting around. What's he doing? He's
waiting for Bill and Ted 3.
Waiting for that Bill and Ted 3 to happen. So here he goes. This is all with Yahoo Movies. Alex Winter explains that Bill and Ted 3 has been in the works for 4 years already. And you know what? That sounds like a long time, but for many movies, that's typical. It takes a lot of goddamn work and time and meetings and convincing people to get a movie made, especially even if it's one with a built-in fan base like a Bill and Ted.
Yeah.
You know, imagine trying to get something where it's like, oh, no one knows about this at all. Please give me money to make it. Are you crazy? Can't we get a Barney movie already? I love you, you love me, that type of shit.
Shut up.
So he says, it's been 4 years already they've been working on the movie. Back in 2012, a director's been attached. This guy is still attached. His name is Dean Parisot. Not sure how to pronounce his last name. It means nothing to anyone when we say the name. However, he did direct one film that I love deep inside. Like, it holds a special place in my heart. That film is Galaxy Quest.
Nice.
I love Galaxy Quest. And the guy that directed that, look like he might be doing Bill and Ted 3, so here you go. Alex Winter confirms that the script is done. We've been working on the drafts for the last couple of years. The script's been finished for a while, but comedy is so specific. We're in that world where producers are on, financiers are on, and we're just working and reworking the script. He goes on to say, oh, to share a couple of plot details here. I've heard him mention this kind of plot breakdown before, so I'm glad that they're sticking with it, because it's intriguing. Because if you remember, Fredos, I Forgot, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. It's all about how these two dumb stoner, implied stoner, douchebag, high school douchebags, they're going to form a band called the Wild Stallions, mm-hmm. and they're going to write a song that's going to bring peace throughout the whole fucking universe. Right? That's the whole point of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, that they're going to save the world. This is Alex Winter. He says, Bill and Ted will be 40-something, and it's about Bill and Ted grown up, or not grown up. It's really sweet and really fucking funny, but it's a Bill and Ted movie. That's what it is. It's for the fans of Bill and Ted. It fits very neatly in the series. It's not going to feel like a reboot. The conceit is really funny. What if you're middle-aged, haven't really grown up, and you're supposed to have saved the world, and maybe, just maybe, you kind of haven't? So it's like they were supposed to have saved the world, and they never actually got around to it. There's many versions of ourselves in this movie. It's answering the question, what happened to these guys? They're supposed to have done all this stuff. They weren't the brightest bulbs on a tree. What happened 20 years later? To answer that question in a comedic way felt rich with possibility. So there you go. Bill and Ted, they're going to be older.
Sounds interesting.
And while Stallions never took off like they thought they would, and maybe the universe hasn't been saved after all.
Maybe they still got some saving to do.
And then finally, let's wrap up the show with this. Key and Peele. I was talking to Kevin the other night. Mm-hmm. He was telling me how you heard that Key and Peele, they are now like in the top 10 most powerful, influential, sought after talents in Hollywood right now.
Interesting.
I mean, they are fucking it. They are hot.
Like they were in some drama that we were watching.
They were in, I forgot to mention this to Kevin, they were on Fargo.
Yes.
Yes. And
they were the
FBI guys.
Yeah.
And they were kind of comedic relief to the point where when they showed up, the two characters, it changed Fargo to a Key and Peele skit.
Yeah.
And it, which is weird because they are introduced right before in an amazing, amazing scene. And I'm like, oh, this scene's so cool. But Key and Peele are outside bickering about stuff. Yep. This is so weird. It's strange. Yeah, that was weird. Remember, Jordan Peele is a shorter one.
Yeah.
It's Keegan-Michael Key?
Yes. Is
it? Yeah, Keegan-Michael Key. He's a tall one. Keegan-Michael Key has that substitute teacher character.
Yes.
Where he's trying to read people's names.
Yep.
And he's like, what's it? Hey, Aaron.
Aaron.
Aaron. Yep. Yeah. You can't say the white kids' names
exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
They're making that into a movie called Substitute Teacher.
Oh God.
They're making a whole thing based on that character. That is on top of the fact that Key and Peele have been given the reins, 100% creative control for the Police Academy reboot.
Oh, nice.
So they're busting their balls on that right now. They got a Substitute Teacher movie. They're working with Adam McKay, the guy who did all the Will Ferrell movies. Yeah. They're working on a movie with him. And actually, they have a quote here. Where is it on this page? No, it's over here. There was an idea with Judd. Oh, no, they're doing a Judd Apatow thing. There was an idea with Judd Apatow, but we're not doing that idea anymore. And now we're going to start from ground zero and start all over.
Nice.
So they're doing a Judd Apatow movie. Jordan Peele is developing a horror film that he's going to direct.
Okay.
We got Police Academy. And and then some of the guys behind the Police Academy movies are some of the dudes behind that TV show, The Mindy Project, which is a pretty popular show. One of the guys behind, one of those two dudes, this dude, Ike Barinholtz, who he's kind of starting to get hot over the last couple years. Remember Eastbound and Down?
Yes.
The minor league team that he played for. The Russian guy that came in.
Yes.
That guy, Ike Barinholtz.
Oh, okay.
That dude, he's also a writer and a comedian. He's one of the guys behind the Mindy Project, and he's one of the guys that Key and Peele brought in to help with Police Academy.
Okay.
So he'll probably end up getting a role in it, which, good for him. He's a funny guy. What did I see the most recently? He played someone's best friend in some pretty crappy... Oh, no! Neighbors. He's in Neighbors. Remember how they have the two friends and they're like their exes?
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy.
Okay.
That guy. He has kind of like a meathead look to him.
Yeah.
You know? Like beady eyes. Mm-hmm. But he's funny though. He's funny. Ike Barinholtz. So alright, there you go. That brings us to the end of the show. Thank you very much for listening. We appreciate it. Thank you, Drew.
You're very welcome, sir.
Remember, rate and review the show on iTunes. Check us out on Stitcher, chriscrespo.com. Check out the reviews. Hit us up, cinemacrustmedia@gmail.com, and we'll be back next week with episode 91. We're trucking towards 100. Very exciting. And there we go.